Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk neurosurgery at Mary Washington Healthcare this morning, and we have a neurosurgeon, Dr. Dino Viziani, with us this morning. Dr. Viziani, it is good to have you here. Good morning.
Thanks, Ted. Good to be here.
I was just telling you a couple minutes ago that if I hadn't done any kind of research on this or looked this up, if you'd come in and said I'm a neurosurgeon, I would have said, oh, so you do brain surgery, and that's it. But there's a whole lot more to it than that.
That's right. That is correct. We definitely do brain surgery, but most of what we do is surgery for the spine and peripheral nerves as well.
So you're dealing with a lot of pain and that kind of thing.
Correct.
Is that why people will come to you generally, that they initially have a pain somewhere?
That's right. So most of what I see are folks who have either neck or back pain, mostly from degenerative conditions. That's the most common cause. But other reasons, such as trauma or tumors, are also conditions that I treat.
Boy, that has to be a scary situation when you come in, when you do have neck or back pain, because I have known people that have had that. They go in and they find that the reason is a tumor.
For that reason, absolutely. I just think just having pain for most folks, just the unknown of why they have the pain is produces a lot of anxiety. And so just coming in and being able to see somebody who can help explain why they may be feeling that pain and give them the reasons. And like I said, most of the time it's just from degenerative causes such as arthritis that just really gives them a peace of mind.
With so many things, a lot of times, especially cancers, you'll have doctors say you know, they'll come to a situation and you'll hear, you know, I wish if you'd come in sooner, we would have been able to do something. What's it like with pain? I mean, it's always hard to know. Is this something that's going to go away? Is it something like a tumor? Or is
right.
It's hard to know, you know, when not to become an alarmist.
It is, but I would say the vast majority of back pain or neck pain are from degenerative causes. It'd be actually very rare that it is from a tumor, but that is certainly something that we, you know, that is on our differential that we look at. And then obviously trauma situations, most folks don't have pain, and after after a trauma they can have pain. That's a fairly obvious reason. But just to appease the minds of most folks, that the vast majority will be from arthritic changes in the spine and not tumor.
And of course, everybody's different. Every situation's different. But if you are starting to experience some kind of pain, after a few weeks, if it doesn't seem to be, there doesn't seem to be any change to the better, is that when you need to start thinking that maybe I ought to go in and have someone look at this?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So just starting to have back pain, that does not require really any evaluation at that point. It's when pain lasts for more than several weeks, should you go see your doctor. Or you would see the doctor sooner if the pain was radiating. So if you felt pain, if you had neck pain and then felt mm-hmm. radiating down your arm, or if you had mm-hmm. neck or low back pain and it was radiating down your leg, that's a little bit more concerning, that maybe something is compressing a nerve and should be evaluated sooner. But for the vast majority of folks, they'll usually know when they started having back pain. It was usually an event that might have caused it. So most of that back pain, about 90% of that pain, is usually something soft tissue related, like you pulled a muscle or strained a ligament.
Yeah.
Most of that pain is going to go away on its own. But if it doesn't, like you said, after a few weeks, that's when we usually recommend seeing somebody.
I guess, when do you get involved in the process? Do I go see a primary care doctor initially, and then he recommends that I go see you?
Yes, always a good idea to start with your primary doctor, because they know you the best. And they are trained to evaluate you and to start the evaluation process. Most people do not need any imaging initially when they have pain. Again, if you have neurologic symptoms, like numbness, tingling, pain, weakness mm-hmm. down an extremity, that usually is a little bit more urgent to evaluate that. But usually we will not get any imaging for at least a month after someone has pain. If they continue to have pain at that time, then that's when we'll usually start to obtain some imaging, usually in an MRI. And that is something that your primary doc can do. Most pain then is treated non-surgically at first, and those are treatments such as physical therapy or chiropractors. And in some instances, seeing a pain doctor who can help you treat pain non-surgically. And usually I'm sort of the last stop.
Okay. We're talking neurosurgery at Mary Washington Healthcare this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We see in all kinds of medicines just how technology has changed how things are done. Have you seen that in this area too since you got involved?
Oh, absolutely. Neurosurgery is a very heavy tech field, as most medical specialties go. Most of our the procedures that we do are highly dependent on imaging, as well as microscopes and what we call navigation systems would help us to localize tumors. Even newer technologies in terms of treating certain things such as tumors, like radiosurgery, which is non-invasive ways to try to treat tumors.
One of the things I guess that you really do when you're doing this kind of thing is as you try to figure out where the pain's coming from and what causes it in everything. There's probably a lot of time is spent trying to figure out and just trying to eliminate possibilities and just to try to figure it out and localize what the problem is.
That's right. Most of the initial evaluation is to rule out the bad. And like I said, that something like a tumor is a rare cause. But that's the thing that you want to make sure that you're not missing, obviously. If it's not something like that, when it's mostly just arthritic changes, then like I said, usually treatment can be centered around more non-surgical treatments first, and reserving surgery as a last resort.
We're talking neurosurgery at Mary Washington Healthcare this morning with Dr. Dino Viziani. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Dino Viziani here with neurosurgery at Mary Washington Healthcare. That is our focus this morning. Dr. Viziani, I guess one of the things you think of immediately when you think of neurosurgery and things of it's probably not available around here. I'm going to have to go somewhere else for it. And that's mm-hmm. one of the great things. And on a lot of these topics, when we have doctors in that we're able to talk about the fact, this kind of the kind of things that you started out talking about and that we'll talk about this morning, available right here. You don't have to go north or south or west.
That's exactly right. I think most people don't realize that Mary Washington offers these services right here in our town, which I think is fantastic because right before people would have to travel, but now we are able to provide just about most neurosurgical services to folks. There are certain conditions that we don't treat, but for the vast majority of folks, they can be treated here and treated well. Mary Washington is a fantastic hospital. I've trained and worked at several hospitals, and Mary Washington is right up there with any of those.
You were talking in the last segment about a number of the things that can cause some of the pains we're talking about. And arthritis was one of the things you mentioned. And so many of us have arthritis in our family or know stories of grandparents talking about just how years ago, how debilitating it was. Is it still, or has treatment for something like arthritis changed over the years?
Some of the surgical treatments have changed. We've developed more minimally invasive ways to try to treat some of these problems. The mainstays of non-surgical treatment, such as physical therapy, chiropractic treatment, pain management, and even acupuncture, are sort of the four standard accepted non-surgical ways to treat that type of pain. And within those fields, certainly there's been newer ways to treat, mostly less invasive ways. with less medication to help folks.
Something like arthritis is that hereditary?
In some families, it can be. Mostly, it's just living. You know, as we get older, our spine was not built to last, 60, 70, 80 years.
Yeah.
So we will all develop some type of degenerative change in our spine. It's just that in some folks, it'll never cause a problem. In other folks, it causes serious problems. It'd be great to know if we could figure out why it is in some folks and not the other. But we're left really with just treating. It's hard to prevent those changes.
I was just going to say, the situation that everybody's different, because you see or you know of people that have been athletic, were athletic years ago, and now say they've got bad knees or a bad back because of it, and others did the same thing, and they still are active.
That's right. I think in any one person, it's hard for us to definitively say why they may have had these changes in their spine. But when you look at groups of folks, I think it's always multifactorial. How you live currently, what you did in the past, what your job is, how you eat, and smoking, which a lot of folks, I hear this from my patients all the time, they were unaware that smoking can affect your spine like this. You know, everyone knows it can certainly affect your lungs and predispose you to lung cancer, but it's one of the worst things you can do for your spine.
I never heard that.
Exactly. See,
you never hear that.
Yeah, those degenerative changes in the discs, and it just contributes to the degenerative process. And then, if you end up needing a surgery on your spine, it is one of the worst things you can do to have a good outcome after spine surgery is smoke. So I'm pretty adamant to my patients that they need to stop smoking if we're going to treat them.
Boy, just another indication. I mean, but smoking in so many areas causes
Absolutely.
So many things. But I had never heard that. I mean, it does make sense that would be. But that really for a person who smokes kind of should be a wake up call that it's not just your lungs.
I hope so. Yes, for what I deal with, right? It just that the nicotine basically just speeds up the drying out process of the disc, and that's all a degenerative disc is. It's drying up over time and it starts to become brittle, and that then can cause all sorts of problems in the spine. So absolutely, it's very important.
Boy, that's interesting. That's you learn something that right. Really though is something you don't hear about, but you should be concerned about if you're a smoker.
Absolutely.
When you talk about discs and when you talk about spine and back things, there's just nothing more painful than when you start dealing and start talking about a disc problem in your back.
I think most people who have never experienced back pain from a degenerative cause or from a pinched nerve can't really relate to that type of pain. Even women who've had children, they always tell me that was nothing compared to the pain that they're going through, particularly with a pinched nerve. That type of neuropathic pain is just horrible. There's really nothing like it. And, that's where these treatments can really be helpful to folks.
Well, and you mentioned again another thing, as I've studied a little bit about this, I thought that in most cases what you did always involves surgery, and you mentioned in the last segment that if you can treat it without surgery, that's your first option.
Absolutely, if we can avoid a surgery, always better for the patient, in my opinion. Although I do love to operate, that's why I'm a surgeon. But to me, non-surgical treatments are certainly less risky than a surgery, because surgeries are not risk-free. But most of the folks that I see, they've exhausted those non-surgical treatments, which may have worked for a long time for them. Some folks I'll see have had issues for years, and they've been able to manage it with either therapy or the chiropractors or having injections in their spine. But when those treatments start to fail, particularly when you have compression on your nerves, surgery really becomes the best treatment.
When a person comes to you and they have compression on their nerves, like you say, that causes so many problems, I guess, what are some of the causes of that? How do you get to that part to where I'm coming to you and saying the problem is that you're saying you're looking at it through imaging and whatever and say it's compression on your nerves.
So from degenerative causes, it's the discs. So as the discs age, they can start to collapse down, which is why we start to shrink as we get older. Those discs are losing their water, they're dehydrating, and they're collapsing down, and they start to bulge. And that bulging can push into the spinal canal, which is where your nerves live. And those nerves travel down into your arms and legs. And so if a disc is bulging into the canal, compressing those nerves, then you can experience symptoms into your extremities. And those symptoms are things like pain, numbness, tingling. And in very severe cases, you can actually develop weakness. More acute causes are things like a disc herniation, where you might hear your doctor say you have a prolapsed disc or a ruptured disc. That is something that's more acute. So if you think of like a jelly donut and the jelly squirting out, that's what a disc herniation is. A small piece of the inside part of the disc has squirted into the spinal canal and can compress a nerve. The symptoms are very similar to what a bulging disc would do to a nerve. It just happens more acutely.
Okay. You mentioned, and I never thought of it, because in the case of my mother-in-law, she did. You'd see pictures year to year about how she just got smaller. And I always wondered about that.
Yep, it's just a degenerative process, and we call that stenosis, and that just means narrowing within the spinal canal. And so for most, or for some folks, that lumbar stenosis or cervical stenosis, which is up in the neck, can really create a lot of problems, and it's a slow process. It's not something that happens acutely, but people can just find over the years, you know, their symptoms just keep getting worse and worse and worse, and that is because that narrowing is getting worse, and there's more and more pressure on the nerves. That's typically when surgery is the best option to relieve some of that pressure off the nerves.
Do you deal with stuff like osteoporosis?
Yes. So I'll see folks who come in with fractures. The spine is one of the major areas affected by osteoporosis. And even simple things in severe cases, such as like stepping off a curb, can cause a fracture in the back. So it certainly is a condition that, when severe, can be worrisome, because some folks can have multiple fractures in their back, and that can certainly be a cause of pain. Obviously, that's usually in older folks, affecting women more than men, but that is something that if you had even a minor accident and you started having back pain, you'd probably want that checked out.
Well, and I know I've had guests in here, and we've talked off air about things, and they've talked about in the osteoporosis about that there are some drugs, I guess, out there now that you can take, but there are some side effects, and a lot of times there's a debate on on which direction to take.
Yeah, for the most part, most of the drugs are not started unless you've had a fracture, or if on your testing you have very severe osteoporosis to try to prevent the fracture. The main treatment for osteoporosis would be calcium and vitamin D supplements, and actually light weight-bearing type exercises, which helps to stimulate bone growth. Again, in more advanced cases, or if you presented to the hospital with back pain, we found that you had a fracture that was consistent with osteoporosis, then a medication is typically started, because then the benefits do outweigh the risks.
Boy, with what you do, when you're able to figure out and come up with a diagnosis that helps a person, long or short term, it's got to be a great feeling, because the kind of pain you're talking about really is debilitating.
It can be life-altering, absolutely. Yeah, so it can be very rewarding, absolutely, when you can help someone and take away that type of pain and get their life back. Absolutely.
Yeah. No. In so many cases that the type of pain we're talking about, just like you say, debilitating, it changes your life, of where the things that we take so many things for granted. And I know, just you pull a muscle in your back, that's something minor that maybe in a couple of weeks we're back to normal. But for those couple of weeks, getting out of bed is tough. And I know people that will talk about some of the kind of pains we've been talking about this morning, and they just can't, they can't function.
Absolutely. Yeah, some of that acute pain can, like you said, can just completely alter your whole life. And yeah, sometimes it can just knock you down to the ground, make it hard to get out of bed. Thankfully, most of that pain is self-limited. It's going to go away just on its own if you gave it enough time. But when it doesn't, you know, that's really when you know, you should be looking for treatment.
We are talking neurosurgery with Dr. Dino Vizioni from Mary Washington Healthcare. We will continue. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We are coming up on 8:30 this morning.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Dino Vizioni here with the Mary Washington Medical Group neurosurgery. That's what we're talking about this morning. What got you involved in medicine, Dr. Vizioni? What made you decide you wanted to be a doctor?
Good question. I think it's just something that I've just always wanted to do. And I'm sure it might sound cliched, but I think it kind of harkens back to when I was very, very little. My mother and I, one of our favorite shows was MASH, and we would watch that together. And I just thought, you know, apart from all the antics of the show, how those doctors help folks really struck a chord. And I think from my earliest memory, it's the only thing I can remember ever wanting to do.
You kind of have the person, the Hawkeye personality of where you can
he
be joking,
favorite, yeah.
But you can be serious when you have to do surgery.
Yeah, right. I think a lot of people have an idea of what a neurosurgeon might be like, and I'm not sure I totally fit that mold, which is okay with me.
That's so interesting because a couple weeks ago, another doctor in here, and he talked about watching The Cosby Show. And seeing that, so it is interesting that some of the things that you're exposed to, and you
yeah,
see that
culture influencing
as a career.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. I didn't always necessarily want to be a neurosurgeon, but always a doctor. I knew that was going to be in my future.
And I guess with neurosurgery, just like any type of medical practice, there's a lot of schooling involved and a lot
particularly
of,
for neurosurgery. Yes.
Yeah. How long and where'd you do all that?
We have to go to college, like most folks, and I did that at Johns Hopkins, and then after that is 4 years of medical school, and I did that at the University of Vermont, and then 7 years of residency after that, which I also did at the University of Vermont. So all in all, about 15 years of school and training to do neurosurgery.
Yeah, wow. What got you to how do you get from Vermont to Fredericksburg?
Good question. So I went to school at Hopkins, which is where I met my wife.
Yeah, okay.
And she is from, and her family's from the Mid-Atlantic. When I was getting close to graduating from residency, we were looking for jobs down in this area. And actually, my first job was in Annapolis, Maryland. It was a town that my wife and I used to visit as students, and we really loved it. And we were very excited that there was a position there. And I was there for about 5 years in private practice.
Okay.
And I decided I didn't really like the private practice game. There was a lot of business side of medicine that I really didn't want to get into. I was really just focused on patient care, and I felt like coming to Mary Washington allowed me to focus more on the patients and less on the business side of running a practice. And we wanted to stay in the Mid-Atlantic, and so things kind of worked out, and here I am, and I've been here for 2 years now. And we really love it in Fredericksburg.
But and you hear that a lot of doctors that are in private practice, the business side of things, of how they're spending half and even more time doing that.
That's right. That's what I was finding. Coming out of residency, you're not really exposed to many types of business models for medicine. You know, as a resident, you're just focused on learning the medicine. You know, when you graduate and you go into a practice or you go to an academic center or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. You start to understand the more ugly side of things. And like I said, running a practice is a business. And for some folks, that's great. You know, they really enjoy it. It's just part of being a doctor. It wasn't for me.
The Mary Washington Medical Group, talk about that and what you're involved there with neurosurgery.
So we're a multi-specialty group that is owned by the hospital, and we have various specialties, neurosurgery just being one of them. But basically, we offer care through all the specialties: heart surgery, general surgery, primary care, endocrinology, rheumatology, plastic surgery, dermatology. I mean, basically every specialty. What I call the multi-specialty group is just that. It's just that we have several specialties that we all come together, and it's just a way to share expenses and to refer patients to within the group. Makes it easier for patients to kind of keep their care coordinated.
Well, and I was going to say, to be in a group like that, if I come, you would think when you get into situations in certain cases, you talk amongst each other and bounce ideas off.
It certainly makes it easier. That's right. So sometimes I'll see folks who are sent to me that actually don't really have a neurosurgical problem. They may have some other type of problem. Or I'll see folks, folks with like a pituitary tumor. So that involves your pituitary gland, which makes your hormones. And that is a specialty that that endocrinologists are involved with. And when we have someone with a tumor like that, I work closely with our endocrinologists to take care of that patient. And being in a group makes that much easier.
We've talked this morning about spinal cord and nerves. We haven't talked about probably the most interesting thing that I find that you, as far as when you do brain surgery or what you do with the brain. Boy, talk about something that's complex. Not that any of this is not complex,
right.
But boy, when you the brain, anytime you talk about that, that's serious stuff.
Certainly, yeah. So most of what we see for when we deal with brain issues are tumors, but here at Mary Wash, we have a very active trauma program. That is a service that the hospital really wanted to provide the community. Particularly being on the 95 corridor, we see lots of accidents. We see lots of folks coming in with head trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And to not have to send those folks away, I think is, again, a great service for the community. So I do deal with head injuries, brain tumors, bleeding in the brain, hydrocephalus, which is water getting trapped within the brain. These are all conditions that we treat here.
Boy, you hear cases of just really and people that do what you do, what you're able to do now surgically with the brain. Just some real miracles at times that you look at things and you think, and you hear of cases that just not that many years ago there was no hope for person with some of the situations you've talked about.
That's right. So as you were asking before about technology, like I said, within neurosurgery, we are a very tech-heavy type of specialty, and particularly in brain surgeries, they're becoming more and more, or I should say less and less invasive, more minimally invasive, because of this technology. A tool called the Brain Lab, or it's neuro navigation, allows us to put your imaging into a computer, and it puts your head into 3D space for me to localize the tumor, so I can make smaller incisions and smaller cuts through the bone to take out tumors or to place catheters, do biopsies, things of that nature. There's also, we work very closely with our radiation oncologists in the cancer center. We have a full cancer center that treats all cancers. Stereotactic radiosurgery is a non-invasive way to treat certain types of brain tumors, and that is with a focused high beam of radiation to basically either control or kill the tumors. And that is something that we offer here at Mary Washington that most hospitals of this size probably wouldn't. So I think that's another great advantage to the community.
Well, yeah, no, just the fact that you've talked about some of those things that you do offer with the brain, I would have thought right off, we don't do that around here.
Right, exactly, and that's why I'm here. So the folks of the town can know that they have these services here, or at least they have a reference for someone to come talk to. And if we can't do something here, then I'm affiliated with surgeons down at VCU that we can get you to folks that can treat it, the condition if we can't do it here, but we can basically treat the vast majority of neurosurgical problems.
Wow, that's terrific to know, and just to know that Mary Washington has invested what they have into that, because I'm sure that the equipment that you have to use on this side of things,
it's not cheap.
No, it's just I can't imagine.
That's right. Yeah, it's a neurosurgery is a program that they support and they want to develop, and we're going to keep developing it and keep building it, and that's the main goal.
Well, and there's so many times when you'll hear that someone has gone in for whatever reason, and they find a tumor on the brain. It wasn't that long ago that you immediately thought, you know, that's it. There's nothing they can do. And so often now there are things that can be done to at least slow, if not totally cure.
That's right. So there's all sorts of brain tumors, from benign to malignant or cancerous. The cancerous tumors are not tumors that we can cure in the brain, but they are tumors that we are getting better and better at controlling. And we have fantastic oncologists here, and like I said, radiation oncologists who are all part of a team in treating these types of tumors. Certain types of benign tumors, a lot of times those can either be managed by just watching them with getting MRIs periodically, or if we have to do surgery, they can be cured. And again, that is something that we can do here.
Is a headache usually the first thing that a person starts to have if they've got one, some of what you've talked about?
It's a common symptom, yes. Although, again, it would be very rare, if you look at all folks with headaches, to have a brain tumor. Most headaches have no cause that we can find. So, you know, if you have a first-time headache, you do not need to rush to the ER to, you know, demand an MRI of your brain. Typically, headaches that don't resolve and that are new for someone probably should be evaluated.
You must look at what's going on with the NFL and with concussions with great interest.
Absolutely. So that is, like I said, was something that we do see here with head injuries and. The concussion type injuries, that traumatic encephalopathies with what we call that, that's from repeated small injuries to the brain. That is mostly the treatment for that is mostly preventative, you know, and as we're becoming more aware, we're learning more and more of better ways to try to prevent those types of injuries.
Well, and the football helmets have changed so much over the years.
That's right, yeah. So what most people don't realize, though, is that helmets, even for like on motorcycles or in your bicycle, they don't really prevent a head injury. Their main goal is to prevent fractures in the skull. That being said, we are developing newer helmets that could lessen that impact of a head injury. Again, that's coming mostly driven by the exposure from the NFL. But yes, I don't want people to feel invincible when they put on their helmet and go, you know, get on their bike or get on their motorcycle and feel like they can't have a head injury just because they're wearing a helmet. That's not actually true.
That's interesting, because in parents trying to get kids to wear helmets, even a lot of times I don't wear a helmet on my bike and am always lectured about it. But I guess that is important for a head injury, wear a helmet.
I would say, right, even though what I just said, you should still wear a helmet.
Yeah.
Because it can certainly lessen the impact that your brain receives from an injury.
Well, and what's interesting with the whole NFL talk is a lot of these retired people, these retired guys, as they have passed away and when they've done these tests and found that they have some serious brain issues with them in their brains going back to their days of playing years ago, and it's a concern and something I guess the parents have to look at when your kids want to play something like, you know, even rec league football.
Yeah, absolutely, because it starts very young. Exactly, it's just those very small repeated little hits to the head that can cause this. It's you know, and in the football players, we see it more in the linemen who are, you know, hitting their heads on every play against each other, versus say the wide receivers or the running backs who, you know, take those big type of hits that, you know, everyone kind of oohs and ahs over, but they're less susceptible to that traumatic injury than the guys who are hitting their heads over and over. And if you start football when you're six and you play it throughout your whole life, mm-hmm. It can certainly add up. So yeah, I would be concerned.
Well, and we see it just in everyday life when a person gets a concussion, just how long it takes them. I've never had one, but I've been around people who have, and it's a long process. And in a lot of cases, the light bothers them for a long time.
It can be. So post-concussive type symptoms, things like headaches, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, loss of appetite, loss of concentration. These things can last hours to sometimes months, and on rare occasions can even be permanent. So it can be concerning. And sure, and for some folks, it can really take a while before they'll feel better. It's something to be aware of and understand, because it's not an immediate recovery.
Right, and even if today I do get a concussion, something like that, it's probably as good to see a doctor and not just, I'll be fine. I'll work my way through.
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely, because you want to make sure that you if you were in an accident and you have a headache and feel nauseous, you need to make sure that you don't have an actual head injury where maybe there is a bleed in your brain that needs to be followed, or versus a concussion, which typically means that you have symptoms, but there's no findings on the imaging. So you didn't technically damage your brain on a gross level, but microscopically there's some injury, and that's why you have those symptoms. And then it's just a matter of, giving it time to heal, versus a head injury that may involve some bleeding, which is a little more serious.
Well, and boy, that's one area where it seems like every day it seems like there's something, you're learning something new, or you keep learning, because it was years ago, something like that. And whether it was in sports or if you did it at home or something, I got my bell rung. But it's a little bit more than that.
That's right. So, if your kid's on the soccer field and he gets hit with the ball and he goes down, you don't necessarily need to rush him to the hospital. But it's something that just to be aware of, and he should be observed. And if there was any real changes in his mental status or thinking, then obviously that would be a reason to certainly take him to the hospital. I think we're maybe to some point might have swung too far with the pendulum and we're overly cautious, but that's probably a better way to be than the other way, which you're right. When I was little and you got your bell rung, you just shook it off and nobody really thought about it and you kept playing. And if you had eight of those through high school, nobody really cared. And now we're learning that might affect folks.
Yeah. Dr. Dino Vizioni here with Mary Washington Medical Group Neurosurgery. We'll wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Mary Washington Medical Group Neurosurgery, our focus this morning. We have had with us Dr. Dino Vizioni here and talking about all kinds of interesting stuff. If people want to get a hold of you and the group, what's the best way to do that?
So my office is on the Mary Washington campus in the Tompkins Martin building, and my office number is 540-374-3200, and you can call and make an appointment if you have some concerns.
Okay.
Like I said, for most things, it's probably a good idea to start with your primary doc, but if, we're always willing to see folks and get them in the right direction.
540-374-3200 is the number. We've a lot of interesting things, but a couple of things really stand out that we've talked about. Smoking in the spinal cord.
Absolutely.
Was really interesting when you talked about the damage that smoking is. We always think about lungs and that's it.
Yep. Stop smoking.
Yeah.
It affects so many things, but in my world, certainly in the spine. And most folks are just completely unaware that's an issue. And so if you have neck problems or back pain problems and you're a smoker, you really should quit.
Really interesting stuff there. So yeah, again, a good call out for smoking. The other thing was, I really had assumed that when you're talking to a neurosurgeon that what you did always either revolved around the brain or surgery. But if you can prevent surgery, you try to do that.
That's right. At least that's my philosophy. No surgery is always better than a surgery. But certainly if you need one, we're there to provide that. And it's not just brain that we do. The vast majority of my work is in the spine, and you know, we're here to treat all problems.
Boy, a lot of times I know, especially a lot of older people will be dealing with some of the pain issues that we've talked about, and just feel like, well, there's nothing that can be done. I've had this for years, but the way technology is, and as you learn things, there might be something.
If they've never had a good evaluation for it, then absolutely they should seek that out, because there may be something that we can do. Certainly, the older you get, the surgery becomes less and less of an option because of the risks of it. But sometimes there are things we can do that can help folks. Absolutely. That's something they should seek out if they've never seen somebody for that.
Well, exciting to hear this morning all the different different areas that are available here, because it just was not that long ago that we were sent somewhere else to a bigger facility. But guess what? We have a bigger facility here that covers a lot of this.
That's right. Yeah, we offer the vast majority of neurosurgical services that the bigger centers like UVA or VCU offer, and right here in Fredericksburg.
No, and just I just think the topics we've talked about, and just having someone with like you here, and talking about the various procedures wasn't that long ago, and it's exciting that it's here right now.
That's right. The field is always changing, and the hospital is dedicated to moving forward with progress, and they're committed to supporting the neurosurgery program. And again, I think that's just a great resource to have in a small town like this.
Well, and you mentioned if you're having pain, you don't necessarily have to just panic and immediately today set up something, but be aware of it. And be aware that there might be some helps.
Awareness is the key. Exactly.
Well, Dr. Vizzioni, thank you so much. This was really great stuff. Thanks for what you provide and what Mary Washington Medical Group Neurosurgery provides to this community.
Thanks, Ted. My pleasure.
540-374-3200, the number for more information. Dr. Dino Vizzioni with Mary Washington Medical Group Neurosurgery. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.